We talked yesterday more about the horror of great darkness. And it struck me one of the least understood languages, I mean least understood words in the English language and in our culture, even in Christianity, is sin. And sin is such an integral part of the understanding of Abraham's experience of the horror of great darkness that you can't possibly understand the experience of Abraham and what his consecration was, the seven consecrations, unless you understand the horror of sin. And what we've done over the years here is the definition of sin has become more and more pristine and expanded because I understand what sin is. And we've talked about the sin that continually crucifies the Son of God afresh. We've talked about the sin that the blood of his sacrifice is considered an unholy thing and you walk on it. But most of Abram's experience, in my opinion, with the horror of great darkness was his apprehension of the meaning of sin. There is no other all of the writings about Luther talk about his understanding of the book of Romans, which caused the Reformation, etc. But long before he understood the fullness of the gospel, he understood the fullness of sin. He almost killed himself in trying to deal with it. He would lie outside in the freezing cold, essentially naked, doing everything he could to repent. He would see his response to people and know that it was pure sin, and he would repent. The thoughts would come into his mind, and he would do unbelievable things. But what we do is we blithely say, well, the blood of Christ has forgiven us from sin. And then we continue in sin. And that's it breaks God's heart. And when that's the reasons that all of the animals were cut in half. And essentially, Abraham, in the covenant that God made with Abraham, when the animals were cut in half and God walked the covenant, Abraham saw with those sacrifices every aspect of his own sin. Because he knew that if he, especially when he woke up from the horror and then saw the animals, or he split the animals before he experienced the horror, that's right. And he knew because let's go to Isaiah 59. You understand, if I have one thought, if I allow one thought to reside within me that says it isn't finished in some way, it isn't perfect, then I have said the sacrifice isn't enough. And if I say the sacrifice isn't enough to God, can you imagine what that means? And so we blithely continue on in our habitual crap, and we call it everything but sin. We excuse our behavior because mommy didn't love us or daddy didn't love us. we blame other people for our anger and our fear and our anxiety. And it's sick, beyond sick. Anybody have any response thus far? Do you ever think about sin, or is it just something you objectify? It's this over here.
Something struck me yesterday, and now it's back, is that this horror of great darkness thing, that Abraham saw the totality of his and our sin, degradation, whatever. And seeing that, and then realizing that the God of the universe is saying, I will die to pay for that, to cover that, makes the awareness of the gulf between man and God, I mean, it's...
Well, I understand.
It's overwhelming.
But
to realize what God did and is doing.
Right. But you can't look at it philosophically.
No.
You have to look. I'm not saying you. You can't look at it as a study. You must experience it with regard to your own actions. Your own lack of love, your own issues. It can't be excused anymore. What?
I'm just thinking about the sin offering of his lies at the door and how incredibly much of an impact.
But shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Do you understand? Do all of you totally understand that the Sabbath day and all the laws and the 46 death penalties for breaking the Sabbath are a picture of Jesus Christ himself? Jesus is the Sabbath. Do you understand that? So, remember when we talked about all of the death penalties for the slightest little exertion of yourself on Sabbath? Well, the reason that those laws exist and so that we could know and see that isn't so we can argue whether Saturday or Sunday or Friday is the Sabbath day. It's so that we can see that these slightest exertions of yourself and your opinion and your rightness is a breaking of the Sabbath, violent breaking of the Sabbath. The definition of sin must come down to the place, if you are not always in peace and joy unspeakable, I'm talking about the essence of what and who and what you are, then you've broken the Sabbath. If you're not always confident, if you're not always seeing the mystery before you, then you're breaking the Sabbath. It's huge. You know, the chapter before Isaiah 58, I mean, before Isaiah 59, where we're reading, is the Sabbath. I'm going to read it quickly, and then we'll read Isaiah 59. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They ask of me the ordinations of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. But they're really saying, wherefore have we fasted, they say, and thou seest not? Where have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and exact all your labors. Now Christ is the day of the fast, and yet you still find your own world and your own labors. Wherefore have we fasted, say they. I know, I just read that. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul, as if to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee, the glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. And thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke of putting forth the finger and of speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, that thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own way, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Think of it. Then shall thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Are you willing to withhold your own pleasure? Are you willing to destroy your own ways? The only way you can destroy them, and I'm talking about the little ways of your mind, much less the big ways that are so obvious to everybody. The only way you can be willing to do it is if you know that they are dung. If you still are deceived into thinking that seeking your own thing, whatever it is going to make you anything other than isolated, alone, and all the other things you hate, then you're a fool. Well, that's the predicate for the next chapter. And this is the chapter on why you are separate. Why you feel as the isolated self still. What? Something's going on. I feel it in my... Wade?
Look up. I'm hearing this in terms of something I talked about, I think, Sunday or sometime recently, about really coming to the recognition that you are more than likely wrong most of the time, as opposed to being right most of the time. Because your mind always tries to construct you to be right in everything you do, but that's trusting your mind and its abilities to know right and wrong. Once you come to grips with the fact that, you know, and you see how many times you've screwed up and your mind has never really worked well, then your construct falls.
Right. You have to see that your rightness is back to that menstrual rag again. It's something that's already been expelled from the bride. And it's something that you're still getting worth from. And it's just crazy. That, I mean, I can understand, you know, the people that haven't heard what you heard or seen what you've seen. But for you to continue to be concerned with your own rightness is just, it's mental retardation, or it's worse. It's sin. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue hath muttered perverseness. Now this is talking. He's talking to the most spiritual people on the face of the earth. What Abraham saw was the hopelessness of the human race. But more than that, he saw his own hopelessness. He saw that even the word Hebrew, it means from the place beyond. It really means from the place beyond comprehension. We have been, there is another life. But his humility keeps him from competing with your way. You have been invaded. This absurdity of absurdities has happened. And you have been invaded from the other side. From the other side of anything that you can comprehend. The God who created all things and for whom all things exist and whom by whom all things subsist, he has chosen, he has invaded you as a vessel. You didn't choose him. But even after that massive, unbelievable thing has happened to you, what could possibly keep you doing your own thing, wanting your own way, wanting your own agenda, wanting your own space even? Well, somebody's got to have a response. Hey. Hi. Anybody have anything? Nobody has any response.
A whole bunch of thoughts.
None calleth for justice, nor pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. We, instead of they, let's say, we conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. We hatch cockatrice eggs. Anybody know what a cockatrice is? It's an adder. It's an adder. It's a poisonous snake. And weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crust breaketh out into a viper. Their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are the thoughts of iniquity. Remember, iniquity is self-seeking. It's Aven. Go ahead and sit down if you want. Anyway. The act of violence is in their hands. Our feet run to evil, and we make haste to shed innocent blood. Our thoughts are the thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in our path. The way of peace we have not known. There is no judgment in our goings. We have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall never know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the light, as in the night, and are in desolate places as dead men. We roar like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. We look for salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw, and it displeased him, that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man that could do this, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. You can't appreciate that the arm of the Lord has brought him the victory unless you understand that all your way is the way of iniquity. Now he has shed his arm, his seed of the Lord is now your life. But you can't continue on in the ways of you while the God who created the universe is in you. All you have to do is get out of the way. All you have to do is stop believing the lies of your own mind. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord. If you understand that the Sabbath isn't a day of the week, the Sabbath is Jesus Christ himself. So your way, your ideas, your thing, your is meaningless. And every time you move out of that rest of His perfect life, and you are deflected for a moment because of this thing, this habit pattern, or whatever it is within you, to move away from that perfection to your own pleasure. You think it's pleasure for a moment, but it becomes you can't do it. And this isn't for sometimes. This has to be lived 24 hours a day. This is the gospel that Jesus Christ has invaded your life. And He alone can accomplish that which God purposed. And we hear that, we know it, but we're so used to this whole other pattern of behavior, this other template, that we're seduced to turn our eyes to our own thing, our own way. And even though His own right arm, His own seed, has gotten Him the victory, and it's Christ in us, now we're worse off than if we had never heard. Remember what was said yesterday. If your feet think there is something, if you think there's something, some other place to go, then you are the one that nailed the nail into Christ's feet. If you believe there's something other, something that you have to do, then you are the one that nailed, that pounded the nails into the arm or hand or wrist of Christ. And if you have a thought that doesn't stand against, it is finished. You are the one that's pounding the thorns into Christ's scalp. It's finished. It's perfect. It's exactly as it should be. You are perfected in Him. And He is your life. Dwell on that. Consider Him of whom we have dealings. He's not separate from us. He's our life. He's a light that lighteth every man that cometh into this world. But we prefer our own way. Can you rest in His this completeness? You've been perfected. There's nothing for you to do but be at peace. But you get seduced by some of these little dealies, these little habit patterns, these little things where you think, I want to do it. This is what I've always done. This is what I'm going to do now, and this is the way it should be. So you go do it. And you've left the perfection. You've left the peace. You've left the joy. You've left everything for the sake of something. I mean, at least Esau got something to eat when he sold his birthright. But what do you sell your birthright for every day? For some little thing, some little habit, or some little... Hear this. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm, his seed, is what it says, Zeruah, meaning his sperm, God's own sperm, brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate. And he put on a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garment of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn away from their own self, in Jacob, saith the Lord. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy glory, the brightness of thy rising. Consider these things. Consider him. Amen? Anybody have anything else? Take a big guy.